So there are, among many people, they have a minig to go to the mikveh before the Kir Shofar. Many had a minig not to, when the first Rebbe of Vizhnitz, the Ahavas Yisrael, married the daughter of the Imrinayim of Jikiv. So he went to his shver for, he was there for several years actually, he lived there and absorbed a great deal of that hashkafa, and it made a huge impact on the future generations of, you know, Rabbi Sandrovich has his gematria thing. That koyach gematria came from Jikiv and was absorbed into the Vizhnitz dynasty by that. Anyway, so the Avos Yisrael said to one of the chassidim, why are you going to the mikveh before Tekiyah Shofar? Is Shachris metame? Like, where does Shachris contaminate you that you need to go to the mikveh again? Nonetheless, there were, in Rizhin, in Chodkiv, there was a big kapeda to go to the mikveh beforehand, and there was a...
Immediately beforehand.
Right, you go the morning before Shachris, and then right before Tekiyah Shofar, they go again. By chassidim, it's... You know, in bells, they say that you needed a knife to cut through the top of the mikveh to get into the water. That's how thick it was. Thousands and thousands of chassidim. Anyway, so there was a Baltikeya in Chodkiv who didn't go to the mikveh. So the Chodkiv called him over and said, sorry, you lost your position. So he said, because I don't go to the mikveh before the Kiyah Shofar, I lost my position. So he said, well, why aren't you going to the mikveh? So he said, because I'm cold, and the mikveh is not that hot, and it's cold in the room, and I'm cold. So he said, that's why you lost your job as Baal Tekeah. Baal says, Ipsis kalt, blus menisht. A child eats something hot. So you blow on it, right? It's called blusen. Same term is used even in English, right? You blow on it. So he said, if it's cold, you don't blow. It's a simon of, he saw it more as a spiritual status that he was cold. You're cold. You don't belong in the job.
Is that one of those mechanisms that people took on and don't know why? Or they just kept doing it and it became more
popular? The truth of the matter is like this. The source of the mimic really comes from the Shabbos morning. The Arizal writes that a person should immerse because in Kedushas Keser, a person gets a whole new level of the Neshama Yisera. There are those who partially humorously say that's how the Jewish soul tolerates Chol. That really there's no way for the body to process it. But the Neshama Yisera that comes to a person at that point allows a person to absorb it. So mikveh, interestingly, in the Kabbalistic world, is not just a purification from contamination, but primarily it is a elevation in Kedusha, which is fascinating because, you know, you see the Kohen Gadol went, how many times? Seven times? And how many times did Kohen Gadol go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur? I think seven times. Right?
There was no
Tumah. It was not Mishav Tumah. It was Aliyah's Kedusha. Each time he changed his clothing.
Given that this is something that comes from the Arizal, it sounds like, why would Pasha to Yid and embrace it?
So, again, it's an excellent point. Like, we'll get, one of the things we're going to get into in a minute is that whole controversy. But as far as what things a Pasha to Yid should take on from the Arizal, what things they are over their head, and there's a Gedorim for that. And again, the answer to that is you see the direction that tzaddikim guided people, which things they should do. Mm-hmm. But the issue of elevating one's opportunity, I'll tell you what, in the simplest of terms, we need to make kelim. Okay, a person needs, when you're pouring out whatever it is that's
battered.
Pouring forth. No, whatever hashpa is coming, oil, gold, no matter what it is, you need kelim to put it into. If you don't have kelim, you can't hold on to it. Mikvah was viewed as one of the kelim to receive hashpa. So you see that even in halacha, the halacha is even somebody who goes to the mikvah in the morning, where there's their tahor, nonetheless, Shabbos, Friday afternoon, it's a halacha, it's not a Hasidic thing. A person should go to the mikveh in order to receive Kedusha Shabbos. What part does mikveh have in Kedusha Shabbos? What's the relationship? And it's a completely different halacha than rechitza. There's a separate obligation on Erev Shabbos to take a shower, to wash oneself in hot water. Because it's a different get. There's mikveh is a preparation to receive some kind of. So at any time that there is a strong new emanation of kedusha, people went to the mikveh, even though they had no asaga. That somebody asked the Beis Yisrael what his kavanas on mikveh should be. He told them aran and arois, get in and get out.
It seems on a practical level that it would be hard to maintain a level of focus when you empty out a shul to go down to the mikveh.
Okay, so it depends where you are. In the Chassidish Mekaymis, there's an official break. Everything's put on hold for 20 minutes while the Elim goes to the mikveh. Here, due to the fact that we're trying not to place an undue burden on the crowd, so those who go sneak out during various times so that it doesn't become a burden on the tzibur. So really here there's no pause in the action. I saw an incredible, such a comforting thought. And again, you know, it's funny because Bat Chorim, once upon a time, my father spoke about it Thursday night by the Medrash here, that there were Bat Chorim. No, it was here by the Ramatalis. Eliyahu HaNavi met two Bat Chorim. The Gemara tells us he met two, what do you call them, a Bat Chorim, a jester, somebody who made people laugh. And he pointed to them, Eliyahu HaNavi pointed to them, and they were not viewed as being the world's most lofty souls, because they were jokesters, right? The Yonavi said, pointed them and said, they are Bnei Olam Haba. Why? Because they make people joyous. So each chutzner had a badchen, who was a guy who had, you know, just had a personality and was clever and came up with these clever lines. The badchen, for instance, in my years in Babov, there's a guy who's a badchen, is Shulam Kessler. Shulam Kessler knows Shas Balpeh, the whole thing, but it has a and just an incredible creative sense of anyway. So one year by Tkiya Shofar, so before Tkiya Shofar, you say Lam Natzeach Mnei Korach Mizmor, that kapitel Tilm, it speaks about the children of Korach, and we say it seven times. So the Rebbe got up to say Lam Natzeach, and this Badchen walks over and says, "Nu Rebbe, we have to be thankful to the Rebbeinu Shlom that whoever made this minig of saying Lam Natzeach Nekarech Mizmar said that we should say this kapitel seven times. Could you imagine had he said we should say kapitel 119, Kuf Yutes, seven times?" All right, the Kuf Yutes is the one that has eight times for each letter of the alphabet. It's the longest kapitel. He says, imagine if we said that. So whoever, I don't remember which tzaddik was, got red, inflamed red, and said, "Oy zukstigit, why are you saying good?" Nobody can understand. The guy made a joke, like, what's the, you know, what are you getting all excited about? So he said, "Dude, none of you understood what he just said." He says, "What's kapitel kuf yutes all about?" It speaks about the value of tzaddikim and the value of mitzvahs and all the psukim about limud haTorah. It's all about the greatness. See, after saying that kapitel, you feel absolutely like garbage, right? Because none of us can measure up to what he's talking about. Bnei Kairach. Right? Who Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he shouldn't accept their tshuva because they're such jerks. And nonetheless, Hashem takes them back in and accepts their tshuva. So now, if that's the ones we're talking about, then Hashem takes them back, then we have hope as well. He says, he was making a joke, but in the joke, there was way too much truth. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. The whole issue, I mean, this is really not relevant just to Rosh Hashanah, of outward hislabus. So in Baba, there was a chassid, Reb Mendel of Rottenburg. There was a daibenigid, there was a person of tremendous, intense ruchnis. And when he davened, it was something to behold. It's also a I think he made the dee da 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 dee da 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 da. You know, he was a beautiful Balmanagin and a lot of Nigunim that he composed. So a stranger once came into the Bais Medrash and he wanted to identify. He didn't know which one was the Rebbe. So he looked around. He was just going to observe from the back, and he saw the way Mendel Rottenberg was davening. So he figured somebody was davening. His hands throwing, and you know, he was all into it, and his face was red, and he was screaming, carrying on. He figured that must be the Rebbe. But he still wanted to make sure. So after davening, he went over to one of the chassidim and said, "Is that the Rebbe?" I said, "No." Pointed to my great-grandfather, who barely moved during davening. He had a very mesudadik, orderly shuckle. This guy was curious, so he went over to my Altazayt and said, "I don't understand. Your chassid over here is davening with his lavas and with screaming, carrying on, and you look, like you're, cold and calculated." So, the Kaddish Sian said to him, "You remind me of a situation. So I once walked by a pond, and there were two people swimming, and one of them was kind of lost their skill and was thrashing around something terrible. And another guy jumped in from the side, and mamish like effortlessly, with three moves, got to the guy and pulled him out." He said, "Watching from the side, I'd imagine that the guy that was doing all the splashing was the good swimmer. And the other guy who was barely moving was the one who didn't know how to swim." He says, "No. When you can swim, when you know how to swim, you don't have to thrash around." The Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, had a son who was the Baal Tekeya. His name was Moshe Bitzal. Was murdered by the Nazis. But when he davened, he literally, his knees knocked together in trembling and fear. It was incredible. And by the time he got up to say the bracha on Tekiyah Shofar, his teeth were chattering and that fear, when people heard it was... infectious. It was, what's the word? Contagious. It just, the matziv of Yira and the Bismedish that came from him was contagious. And later his nephew, the Pnei Menachem, became Rebbe. So one of the Chassidim went over and reminded him and interpreted. Remember, I shared with you yesterday the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lama Toikin, why do you blow Shofar? So the Gemara says, Lama Toikin, Rachman Omertiku, why do you blow? The Torah said to blow. So there's many beautiful interpretations into what the Gemara's question was, what the Gemara's answer is. So he said, after experiencing a Moshe B'tzalel's Tekiyah Shofar, he said, by the time he finished the bracha of the Shema Yochel Shofar, we were all drenched in sweat, in fear. Everybody in the room. He said, generally, the fear comes upon people when they hear the sound of the Shofar. He said, Rav Moshe B'tzalel said the bracha. The fear began long before the bracha. He says, that's what the Gemara is. The Gemara is saying to Rav Moshe B'tzalel, Lama Taken, why is anybody bothering to blow the Shofar? After hearing his brachas, there was no need anymore to blow the Shofar. So the answer was, because the Torah says, you got to blow. You can't just get away with the bracha. I find a great deal of comfort in the Revolve Kitsis was the Baal Shem Tov's Talmud. And one year before Shofar, Baal Shem Tov sat down and taught him the Arizal's Kavanas. Interesting, the Mishnah Berurah says in Ilchas Shofar that the Baal Tekeah and the Baal Makri should sit down and learn the Kavanas in the Zohar and in the Kavanas Ari, Mishnah Berurah. I mean, I'm sure they do that in Chafetz Chaim, right? So he sat and taught him all the Kavanas. Came to Tekiyah Shofar, he forgot everything. Everything was wiped out, wiped clean. So he got up to blow with this shattered heart. After Tekiyah Shofar, the Baal Shem HaKadosh went over and said to him, Reb Zev, Revolve, I have no idea what your kavanas were today, but they shattered the heavens. So he told him what had happened. So he said that there's no... He said the mashal he gave was like this. A lock. Before we had electronic locks, the way it worked is that the grooves didn't fit into a certain spot. If you have the right key, so it clicks the whatever grooves and opens the door. He says, but then there's another way to open the door, and that's to just shatter the lock. He said, a broken heart doesn't need any of the little grooves. It removes the lock. That's the effect of a broken heart. So I always think about this mashal when I'm waiting for my father to be able to get those tekiyahs out. By the time he finishes getting frustrated, I am so tzishmetet that I know that my tekiyahs are... And it's not just me. I watch the rest of the people in the kehillah. Everybody's in the same place. And I have a shtickle suspicion that there's more intent to it than we give it credit for. The yeshivish world does not blow shofar by the silent Shemoneh Esrei. It's Machlekes Rishayim, and they only blow by the repetition, not by the silent Shemoneh Esrei. Among Chassidim, they blow, and among the Sfaradim, they blow by the silent Shemoneh Esrei. The Avnei Nezer was Rebbe in Sachetchov, was a Goy Noilam, and he wrote a tshuva supporting not blowing during the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. He said, even though the minhag among Chassidim is to blow by the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei, you shouldn't do it. He goes through a very extensive halachic thing about not to do it. The Minkat Sheruv was a zealot and a very sharp one at that, and he wrote a tshuva just you know, it's one central nekuda, which again was, I mean, Nezer writes, yes, in the works of the Arizal, he writes that a person should blow a shofar. He says that the Avner Nezer writes that the youngsters who want to become chassidim think that blowing shofar by the Shtilish Menesri is one of the main staples of chassidus, and that therefore they're going to go all out and do it. And he says, the Avner Nezer writes, Achla yoyes kim ligdoili erech kemoisim. For great people who are into Kisvi Arizal, they should do it, but for the common folk, it's not so important. So the Minkacheru writes, he says, in the insult that the Avner Nezer writes about why the youngsters want to do that, he says, let me tell you, if you look in the little tefillah that's written in the Machzorim after the Tekiyas of the quiet Shmon Esrei, it says there that the blowing of the shofar during the quiet Shmon Esrei is misugal, is opportune to nullify the Yetzirahara of Gilui Arayis and Ashchos Azera, of immoral sexual behavior and the spilling of seed in vain. Right? And that's what the Eitz Chaim writes, that that's the segula of those tekiyas. See, he says the Minkacheruv. See, he says, oh, are they right that the tekiyas shofar of the quiet Shemon Esrei are me ikrei hachasidus? Yes, all these young people are looking to help themselves be mevatel those yetzaharas. He said, and don't you dare tamper with it. Make sure that you take every opportunity that'll help us in that area. You know, you should take advantage of it. That's if that's one of the schools of doing the tekiyas in the quiet Shemon Esrei, bring it on.
You said recently that there's a machlokas about whether or not to say the yiratzons or the quiet.
I don't know if it's a machlokas. It's written there. How did you hear that?
You said it recently.
Maybe Shabbos afternoon. It says that a person shouldn't do any type of confession on Rosh Hashanah at all. So we don't even say the Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. The first of the Avinu Malkeinu we don't say on Rosh Hashanah. But you glance at it with your eyes. It's said with you have it in mind, but not, you don't utter anything with the lips that the Bekaturgim, because the angels are not lip readers. Are not mind readers, but they are able to read lips, and therefore you avoid any kind of kitruk.
So
still have 3 minutes.
Is that what you and your father?